out of the book of Exodus. Chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by him and before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. That if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. The fourth generation, and take us for thine inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged that thou diggedest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob sware to him this day and sware unto him. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and thus despised his birthright. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. I could paraphrase a little bit here, probably change the wording but not the meaning. You shall receive power after you're born again. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These readings tonight, I want to draw several things to your attention. But in order to put it in the proper perspective, I want to use a subject: the value of the birthright in this generation. The value of the birthright in this generation. God, would you smile on us tonight? Allow us to feel your holy presence one more time. Not that I would receive honor and glory, but it would all be yours. Speak to this youth congress, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask it for your glory. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. A beautiful thread of youth. Has been woven through the years in the plan of God. God has ordained that someday youth replaces age. From one generation to another. Understand always the plan of God, but it seems to be that God has always got somebody ready to take the place that time presents from one generation to another. You tonight. And I'm looking at a fourth generation of Pentecostals. And you say, Brother Foss, that doesn't mean too much to me, but somehow I feel that you are the rapture generation. Hallelujah. The pioneers did not see it. I hope I see it. It may happen tonight. I believe with my heart that you, young people, will see the rapture of this great church. Hallelujah. And at the beginning of this, let me challenge you that it's time for you to take your place wherever God wants you to be. Step into it. Don't be afraid. Take your place and take hold of your birthright and hold it.
begin to study this for this service tonight, I come across something I never noticed before. The second time that Moses had asked the Lord, look, forgive them. I understand, God. Forgive them. In our text tonight, they're stiff-necked. I know that. But somewhere, Lord, I'm asking you, please, forgive them. Don't cut them off. We sometimes fail to understand this man, Moses. From the solemn warning that God gave through Moses to the children of Israel, he did not rebuke them for having houses or having land or having vineyards or taking hold of good things. That's not the gist of it. But he simply said, when you've got it, don't forget where it come from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The best that I can ascertain, it was a period of 80 years from a burning bush to this warning. 80 years. That may not hold any significance to you, and it may not mean anything to you about the span of time. But the people that Moses was warning, that he was talking to, was the fourth generation from the burning bush. What had transpired? What made him feel the way he felt toward these that he's looking at now? And he was simply telling them, you are going to have it good, because you're going to have things, and things are going to be all right. Because following a burning bush, there had to be a blistering furnace and a making of brick. A molding with fingers until the flesh come off of the bones. Gathering the straw, getting the clay, working until their face blistered by the burning flame of a furnace. And Moses stood there and wept and said, God, I want to deliver them from that. I want to get them out of here, God. Moses not only was willing to die, but he said, I'll give up everything. And he made that choice, choosing to walk with God's people rather than to enjoy everything because of what he saw. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he stood there, the Lord told him, I'm going to go with you. I will give you everything you need. I will sustain you in every part that you have to have. Just learn to depend on me. You see, his birthright at the burning bush, he took hold of it. I'm going to hold on to it. God, you promised me some things, and you told me some things. I'm going to take hold of that birthright. That burning bush done something to me. I don't intend to allow it to slip through my hand. But God, don't you forget that you burning bush, and you're the one that called me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He started. You know the plagues. You know the miracles of the plagues. One miracle right after another. Everything that could be done was being done by the presence of the Lord. And then finally it comes down to a point that it's time for us to go. The Passover lamb was fixed. The blood was on the doorpost. Everybody was ready, the staff in their hand, and God so beautifully stood by him that there wasn't one feeble person in all of the nation of Israel the night they got ready to go. Oh, friend, if that man could not understand the birthright that I received at a burning bush, that God will move heaven and earth, that God will work out everything in the world, that I can have what God wants me to have. Hallelujah. Stay with me just a few minutes here. He come to the Red Sea, and it looked like disaster. Now, what are we going to do? And the Lord told him, said, just stretch forth your hand. When he did, the water divided. And here he is taking people out of an Egypt. Got them away from blazing hot fire. There was something about the love that this man had for that generation that I want to take you somewhere where you don't have to be in what you've been in. You don't have to go through what you've been going through. I want to give you something. Across the Red Sea. When he got on the other side, he watched the water close. When the water rolled back and it closed, they began to dance and praise the Lord. They went on to Marah. And when they got to Marah, and they looked at the water and tasted it, it was bitter. Moses said, God, what am I going to do? He said, you see the tree? Just go cut it down and throw it in the water. And God, these people need sweet water. And you know. And the bush was put in the water and the water became sweet. They went on to another place. And when they got there, there was no water at all. And God said, Moses, I'm going to stand on a rock. And when I get to that rock, Moses, I want you to smite the rock. When you do, water's going to come out. You see, the birthright was paying off. Every day that he lived, everything that he done, everything that he come to, the value of that birthright was growing daily, every day. When he smote that rock, out of it came gushing, falling, sweet water out of the very spring of the heart of God because of man. My birthright. My birthright. Then he comes to a point. When he got to this place, there was nothing to eat. God, what am I going to do? And back to the burning bush. Moses, you tell him to wake up in the morning and go out and gather up manna. Get enough for their whole family, and we'll give it to them. And they don't have to gather enough, a whole lot, just enough for today, because tomorrow we're going to give you some more, and on. And when you come the day before the Sabbath, you can get enough for 2 days, and we'll preserve it. And manna, here we are. What about our shoes? He said, your shoes won't wear out, and your garments won't get old. God, this is the people that dwelled in the mouth of a furnace, and they stayed there. But then the day come that Moses, through the voice of God, looked at a fourth generation, and he started talking to them. And now here's where I want to preach. when he started talking to them. I'm talking to a generation that you don't know anything about the hot furnace. You really didn't know anything about the Red Sea because we picked you up and we carried you across it. You were just babies and you didn't have to worry. We stood there, and when we marched across, I had you in my arm. You don't know anything about that. You knew nothing about it. Hey, fourth generation, there was a time that we had to have water. And the water was bitter. And I went out and I cut a bush and I throwed it in that brook and it becomes sweet. But you never saw it because I drew your water. I put it in your cup. I put it to your lips. I allowed you to drink because I had a love for you. And so the fourth generation, you don't know about the water. Well, Moses, tell us about this rock business. I'll tell you about it. Our stock was dying. Your little tongues was parching in your mouth. When you tried to speak, it felt like foam and cotton in your throat. And I went to God. I reached back to my burning bush. And when I reached back there, God told me, I want you to strike the rock. And when he struck the rock, fourth generation, a curvature came, and out of that broken rock came your water. Hey, fourth generation, there was a time we had nothing to eat, and you wasn't old enough to tend the sheep. You wasn't old enough to plow the ground. You wasn't old enough to gather the corn. And I went back to God with my birthright. And when I got there, I said, God, did you bring us out here to let us die? The birthright began to grow, fourth generation, and the Lord gave you manna. You didn't even have to gather it. I went out and gathered it for you, and I gave it to you. I told you you could have it. I told you you could enjoy it. I told you that it was yours, and you eat, and you had your fill. You had everything. You didn't have to worry about not knowing where to go, because God put a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. He stayed there, and fourth generation, you didn't have to worry. Then the time came for the old man Moses to lay it down. What about the birthright? Could it be given from one generation to another? Does one generation hold on to it? Can one generation claim that because of another that I can take the birthright, and it can belong to me? Brother Johnson, get me Joshua 3. And he looked over at a man, much younger. And he said, Joshua, the anointing is going to come to you. You see, Joshua now was old enough that he wasn't the youngest, but he was old enough that he could remember some of those things. And it probably plagued his mind, Brother Kilgore. Can I be what Moses was? Can I be what that man was in the presence of God? And then come this warning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to give you houses. We're leaving them to you that you didn't build. You're going to live in cities that you had nothing to do with. You're going to gather grapes out of a vineyard that you didn't plant. That's all right, fourth generation. That's okay. But give You've got to know.
Got to know.
You've got to understand.
Amen.
You see, there's a lot of reasons that the youth group is like it is today. It's not all your fault, honey. You've never heard this generation preach like I'm going to preach to you tonight.
Oh.
I'm going to take my share of the blame. I'm going to take what belongs to me. But I got news for you. You can have everything you want. You can get everything you want. And God is standing there. He's looking for the man. He's looking for the woman. He's looking for the boy. He's looking for the girl. That'll say, God, I surrender.
Amen.
Joshua, you heard this warning. Yes, sir. Check your dates. It's all in the same year. Time to cross Jordan. The Lord said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Fourth generation? What are you going to do? Moses is dead. He gave us our manna. He gave us our water. He brought us out of Egypt. He crossed our Red Sea. Give us shoes that didn't wear out. I wonder what went on in the mind of Joshua. I wonder what he thought. God, somewhere, you're going to have to prove yourself to me. I know all about that back yonder. I heard about the burning bush. And I heard about the miracles. But I can't do what they've done. God, you brought me here now. What am I going to say? And the Lord began to talk to him in Joshua chapter 3. Brother Johnson, read.
Verse 7.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, And the Lord said to Joshua,
This day will I begin to magnify thee.
This day I'm going to start to magnify thee.
In the sight of all Israel.
Oh, son, in the sight of all Israel. Look, what are you telling me, God? I want you to experience a Red Sea for yourself. I want you to be the one that strikes the rock. I want you to be the one that gathers the manna. I'm going to magnify you in the sight of all of Israel.
That they may know. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That they may know.
As I was with Moses.
And God reached back to the burning bush and picked up the birthright and walked over to another generation and planted it in his hand and said, As I was with Moses,
so I will be with thee.
I'm going to be with you. Hey, Joshua, walk up to your Red Sea. Joshua, walk up to your rock. Joshua, walk up to your trouble. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses.
Hallelujah. What a promise. What a promise.
Oh. The transfer of the birthright. My God. When Joshua heard it, I wonder tonight, is there a Joshua in this audience? And tonight, God is about to tell you something. Which one of these young men is God going to carry back to the burning bush? We don't have our C.P. Kilgores. We don't have our O.F. Fosses.
We don't have our Andrew Hershens. But friend, that don't mean that it's over. Because the same God that was with them is going to magnify you and give you what you need. And you're going to be able to smite the rock and experience it for yourself. You're going to hear it for yourself. You're going to know it for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Brother Johnson, God's going to slip over and set by some of these young people tonight. And he's going to tell them, as I was with C.P. Kilgore, like I was with O.F. Foss, like I was with B.H. Hyatt, like I was with Andrew Urshan, I'm going to be with you. You can go. You can do it. You don't have to worry. Don't look back. God is going to give you the kingdom just like he gave it to them.
Hallelujah.
Friend, I want you to look at the young man today. The first thing he done when he picked up that birthright, he walked up to a Jordan River. That is Jericho was waiting for him on the other side. He knew it was there. He knew he could take it. I'm going to have it. But God, how am I going to cross this Jordan? I want to see it for myself. Honey, I don't like it second-handed. I want to see it for myself. And when he stepped out there and he looked at that Jordan, because I am going to cross this river.
And the Lord said, just put your foot out there, son. Jordan was swelling at this time. It was out of banks. They couldn't find an easy way. But when he got the birthright and he got it in his hand, he walked up to Jordan and he stuck out his foot and he said, it's my birthright. You said you'd be with me like you was with Moses. You'd do with me just like you done him. And the Lord said, just put out your foot, son. Water started piling up. Oh, you said, Brother Buzz, I don't believe it backed up. Okay. Be skeptical. Is it any easier for it to pile up and the Lord just to build an invisible dam? Or did he just reach down and pull the pumps out of the heart of the earth and said, stop flowing? You see, the birthright was in operation and the water stopped. And when it stopped, he stood there and all of Israel came across. And when they looked at it, they began to dance and they began to magnify God. Because God had renewed a birthright with Joshua that he had gave to Moses. I will be with you.
We'll do it. All right.
God's with us. Hey. Let's talk about this. The birthright a minute. What it does to young men. One day the prophet was walking along and he had his mantle. And he walked by a young man that was, he was plowing, working. Had a yoke of oxen. And dear God, he didn't say anything to him. He just walked by and just let it touch him. And when that mantle touched that boy, he said, wait just a minute. Let me go kiss my daddy. What are you saying? I'm ready to surrender it all. If you'll wait just a minute, I'm going to go with you. You got something I want to see. You got something I want to look at. You've got something I need to know about. I'll go back and give it all up.
Ever better.
Come on, Elisha.
Glory.
My God, he saw him.
Yeah.
One miracle right after another. The things that he'd done. The things that took place. The prophet wasn't even paying him any attention. He never did say, come on, buddy. Come on, walk with me. Everything's going to be all right. That old man will just lay it over his shoulder. And he said, you're going to go with me now. Come on. And he walked along. Day in and day out. And finally, he looked over at him. And he said, what do you want? What are you asking me? What are you following me for?
I want a double portion of your
kingdom. Is that what you're looking for?
I want the birthright.
That's my birthright. Do you really want it? Well, if you see me when I leave, then I'll give it to you. And he just started walking. Finally, the old prophet stopped and said, go back. No, I ain't going back. Ah. And he went on a little further. He said, why don't you go back home? Go on back. Oh, hey, go back there. Look, there's a birthright. I want a birthright. I want to get it. I've got to have it. I'm not going to be denied. Stay here. Go on back. Go back. Hallelujah. 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 And one day, they got off by themselves. The last thing he saw the old prophet do, old Elijah walked up to the river, and he said, Elisha, you still following me? There's the river. When he done that, the waters begin to roll. And he started out. He said, let's go. And he got over there in a little private place. And he stood there a little while. And suddenly there came a sound out of glory. And there came a chariot. The chariot and the horsemen of Israel. The chariot of the Lord. And the Bible said Elijah was gone, but Elijah alone. Hallelujah. While he stood there, he looked. You got it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? The first thing he done, he walked up to the river. He said, I want my birthright. I want what's going to me. I want to know where is the Lord God of Elijah. Oh, Kandri Andro, Salamakohanda, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. Dear Lord, dear Lord, God is looking over this audience tonight. He's looking for a pastor. He's looking for a youth director. He's looking for a young man
that'll dare step out and pick up the mantle of the old prophet and walk out and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
My God. You see, he had a right to see the iron swim. Walked up to where the axe head was lost. Went back to his birthright. Oh, sit down. I'm not through. Let me go a little bit further. My. Let me talk to you about another man that was anointed. Anointed of God. Stood head and shoulders above everybody. And the day that come, he failed. And that anointing was lifted from him. That old sword that he held in his hand, that was called the sword of Saul. Hey, it knew what the anointing was. It knew what it felt like to be in the hands of an anointed man. And that sword sang a song in battle. It fought for the Lord. It run men through. It disemboweled men. It beheaded men in the hand of the anointed. But the day, Brother Beckton, that God lifted the mantle off of Saul, and it went to somebody else. That old sword hung on the wall. If you could talk to it tonight, it would have wept. It would have cried. Because out there on the hills of Israel was a Philistine that was making a mock of the God that I have defended so many times. The old sword probably wept. I preached at the Bible school not long ago, and I preached on a subject, the cry of the sword. And that old sword, no doubt if it could talk, it would have looked at its owner and wept. Why don't you take me? That Goliath is no match for you. You don't have to worry. Oh, but the anointing was gone. But the day that a little boy walked into the room, an anointing had been poured out on a strapping young man when he walked into the chamber of the king. The sword stirred. It felt something different. Saul said, David, you're just a boy. Fourth generation. Hear what I'm telling you tonight. Karamo Shandriyanda Mohaya. You're just a boy. Why don't you take my sword? Oh, I wish you could talk to that sword tonight. Because when old Saul reached up and took it off of the wall and he put it in the hand of that little boy, it was too heavy. But again, the sword felt an anointing go through it. One more time. Because the boy was reaching back to a horn of oil. And God said, I will be with you just like I've been with Saul. Oh, listen to me, David. 1,000's going to fall by your right hand and 10,000 by your left. But there's not one thing going to come nigh thee. And Saul has slayed his 1,000, but David is going to slay his 10,000. Oh, David took that sword and handed it back to him and said, I haven't got that, but I've got a birthright. And I'm going to go out there in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, listen, friend, that's all he had to do is to depend on what God had told him.
Lest you think that I am playing crowd manipulation, I'm going to omit the slaying. I'd get you out of your seat and you would run these aisles. I don't want you to miss what I'm telling you. I'm not here to make you shout. But fourth generation, I want to talk to you. From the burning bush to houses of plenty. Vineyards, 80 years. Next year, Brother Johnson, next year, you listen to what I'm fixing to tell you? 2 years, 78 years ago, this past July, my dad received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How far are we down the road from Stone's Folly? How far have we come in the letter rain? We've told you about the miracles of the past. Brother Kilgore, you and I was carried through the Red Sea. I never went to the furnace. Oh, I was born in a pioneer's home. I know something about what they went through. But fourth generation, here's where we have failed you. And I'm asking you tonight to sing, "I Surrender All with Your Heart." My generation, the generation in between me and you, we really failed you. I sat down last week. I took what God has given me. I tried to figure out how that I could put it where David wouldn't have to worry. I wanted to put it where Gary wouldn't have to worry. I'd done without when I was a kid. My dad tried to fix things for me. Brother Kilgore, we haven't wanted them to gather their own manna. We haven't wanted them to have to walk through their own Red Sea. We haven't wanted them to have to wait and depend on anything. We have given you cities that you haven't built. We've dug wells that you didn't have to dig. We've drawn water that you didn't have to draw. Oh, God. Billions going to hell. And our church can't reach them. I'm afraid it's my fault. I've sent you to school and you've learned to preach. I've sent you to school and such a display of talent here tonight, you've learned to sing. We don't have to worry. We come to church and have church whether God's here or not. Because my generation has taught you what you know. But I'm begging you tonight, oh listen friend, you don't know the thrill of hitting the water and watching it roll back. You need to experience the experience for yourself. You need to watch the water come out of the rock for yourself. Friend, I've never preached this way. I never looked at it this way until I knew I was coming here to preach to you. But I want you to know tonight that my heart is reaching out to the boy that's wrestling with a call in his bosom, but he's afraid he can't do it. You don't have to do it like me. You don't have to do it like Rex Johnson. You don't have to do it like James Kilgore. You don't have to do it like Cleveland Beckton. You don't have to do it like Brother Rodenbush, Brother Pugh, or Brother Judd. All you need to do is pick up the mantle of your birthright and get that mantle. You see, I'm sorry if my generation has made it seem that you can't have miracles. I'm sorry if my generation has made you believe that you can't have revival. I'm telling you to pick up your birthright. You see, here's what we've done, Brother Kilgore. We've carried them to Acts chapter 2. They come out of the upper room and they danced and they shouted. But we've never took them past that. They got down to the verse 38. They was baptized in Jesus' name. They know verse 39. But they don't know anything about the last verse of the second chapter of Acts. When you get there, it said, and they had all things common. That meant they surrendered everything. Waiting for you is a Pentecost like we have never seen. There's somebody in here tonight that God wants to give the power to walk down the street if you can stand it, and just your shadow will heal them that you pass, because your birthright goes back into the book of Acts. Your birthright don't start in this 19th century. It traverses back all the way back, and you can have everything that belongs to you. God is looking. God is looking. He's looking for the young man that's willing to be infected with a disease. What kind of a disease? Hey, fourth generation, 80 years after the outpouring of Pentecost,